are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again. Tuesday episode, rapid react from Monday night football, near upset. 49ers almost got it done in Green Bay at Lambeau Field and knocked off the Packers on Monday night football, but fell just short, 33-30, Aaron Rodgers magic, and the 49ers fall to 1-5 on the 2018 football season. My initial takeaways from this football game: I'm going to give away a couple of game balls, talk about some very interesting, I think this is what's going to be what people remember about this game, is the end of the game and the clock management from Kyle Shanahan and some questions there possibly. But overall, I think if you said the 49ers went into Lambeau Field, took the Packers down to the wire, and were tied with a minute left in the game, I think a lot of 49ers fans will be happy with that result. But then when you come out with an L, I think people still feel disappointed, even though the way this season is going and not pulling out the win on Monday Night Football was a rough one. But we'll get to all the takeaways. I've got some notes on this one and a couple of game balls, and we'll talk about this game probably all week long, aside from Wednesday's episode, which is going to be a crossover episode with Brad Bearmotter of Locked On Rams. We're going to start to look ahead at Week 7 as well, but a lot to unpack here from this Week 6 loss at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football. Good and bad from the 49ers. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere, Google Podcasts. You can ask Alexa to play Locked On 49ers Podcast. We have Locked On 49ers Flash Briefings on the Amazon platform as well, so ask Alexa to play those. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Those are the best places to get a hold of me and get involved in the mailbag segments that we'll be doing this week on Locked On 49ers. So this was an especially interesting one for me, the way the night played out. Monday Night Football, I've got a Monday Night Softball League. We had playoff implications. I could not let my team down, so I had to go play softball knowing the 49ers were playing a football game, and I had to come home later, watch the game on Game Pass, so I was a little bit behind. And it was funny because my phone was going crazy. People were texting me, and my Twitter mentions were going off. And judging by those, and I was kind of like, I wasn't worried about, you know, if I heard the score, if I knew what was going on in the game before I went and watched it, because I knew I'd watch the whole thing and break it all down. But judging by my Twitter mentions, I thought the 49ers would have lost by 30 points and got blown out, until I saw a couple of tweets about clock management. And I was thinking, well, if clock management's in play, this might have been a very tight football game. And it turned out it was. And it was an entertaining game. It was a great end to the football week, I think. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a snoozer of a football game. But the 49ers really made it a good one. And unfortunately came up with the loss in the end. And a disappointed 49ers football team. Saw a lot of shots of the 49ers at the end of the game. Upset. You know, crouched down, a lot of 49ers sitting on the field after Aaron Rodgers was able to pull away with the victory in this one. And it was so disappointing with the way it went down, and giving Aaron Rodgers the ball back with a minute to go. You just had that feeling. It was like, nah, this can't be the way it goes. You know, you can't give Aaron Rodgers the ball back with a minute to go at home. That's not the right way to do it. And so we'll get into all that stuff a little bit later. But let's start with... You know what I want to start with is Matt Breida. It's becoming clear, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert became the number two running back in this one. I think I saw Alfred Morris touch the ball one time in this game. It's clear the 49ers can run the ball on anybody. And that's one of the things Kyle Shanahan brings to town. And I know for those of you who have been playing fantasy football for a long time, you know you draft the running back who's going to be carrying the ball in Kyle Shanahan's offense, because they run the ball. And I think they need to get some things straight with the offensive line. It looks like they've gotten there, And the 49ers are going to be a team that always can run the ball well. And if you can run the ball well, you're going to be in a lot of football games. Unfortunately, the 49ers have found a way to be close and be in games. And, I mean, this is the second year in a row that the 49ers have lost so many games that they're close, that they're in, that they're within a score in the fourth quarter, that they have a lead in the fourth quarter. They're within 2 or 3 points in the fourth quarter, and they cannot pull out wins. That's clear. So those are some constants here. They can run the ball, and they can lose by 3 points. That's what the 49ers have become. But Matt Breida, averaging 7.5 yards per carry, leading the league in that category. And so he plays through that ankle injury. He was game time decision, and it turns out he was going to play, and he played well. And so what happens? Matt Breida takes his first handoff, and he gets about 7.5 yards per carry because that's what he does. And so it was awesome to see Matt Breida playing in this game, getting that first touchdown after a 7-play, 75-yard drive to get the scoring started for the 49ers. And it was very reminiscent of that start against the Arizona Cardinals, where 49ers went down like a hot knife through butter. I loved the shot of Packers coach Mike McCarthy after that opening drive from the 49ers. He's looking up at the Jumbotron, and he just had a look of bewilderment on his face. It's like, what are we going to do here? We could not stop the 49ers. That was a priceless look. But it started just like last week. 49ers run down, put up 7 points, and then Aaron Rodgers comes out, some boot action, finds Marquez Valdez-Scantling for a huge gain down to the 17-yard line on the very first play. It wasn't a 75-yard touchdown like last week, but it set him up for a touchdown. Next play, Aaron Jones almost got in with a 17-yard run. Just too easy. I think both teams probably came away thinking, we just let that team run down the field on us way too easy. But what was disappointing, I think, there was two things from that first Packers drive that were the most disappointing to me. And number one is you have four wide receivers lined up on the left side of the formation, and you're in a goal line situation, and you have two defenders trying to cover four guys. Yeah, that doesn't work. Robert Saleh, whatever he's dialing up there, call a timeout, whatever you have to do, that does not work. You can't have two defenders sitting there trying to cover four guys. And then he's threw it over to Ty Montgomery. Easy touchdown. You can't let that happen. You can't give your opponent 6 points that easily. They might have gotten in no matter what, but call a timeout. I don't know what you're dialing up on defense where you're not covering half the wide receivers that are split out to one side. That can't happen. The other thing that I thought was interesting and kind of funny was watching on that first pass, that long pass to MVS for the big gain by the Packers, watching that play action and that bootleg from Aaron Rodgers and Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas just pumping their arms, trying to run after him, it just in vain. And I was thinking, okay, look, this is one of the big things with the 49ers. Obviously, you talked a lot about the pass rush and reasons why. And we saw it later in the game with Aaron Rodgers, is when you have, when all of the people that are trying to run after the quarterback are slower than the quarterback, that doesn't work out very well. And so Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, and I was thinking, well, how fast was Aaron Rodgers coming out of college? So I had to look it up, and I remember he ran a surprisingly good 40 time coming out. And it was right on par with Alex Smith. And Alex Smith was supposed to be the super athletic quarterback, but Aaron Rodgers was right there, and maybe even a little bit faster than Alex Smith coming out of college. And so I looked it up. I think it was 4.75 was Aaron Rodgers' 40 time coming out of college. And he might not run a 4.75 anymore, and he's banged up. But still, it wasn't like anybody was close to running him down. And we saw that later in the game. He can get out there and move a little bit. And when you have guys who run 4.9, 5.0 chasing after him, that's difficult. And even Solomon Thomas, who ran a pretty good 40 time coming out, I think he actually ran 4.6s, 4.69 or something like that, which is why he was such an athletic freak and so many people liked him in the draft. Because you're 275 pounds running 4.69. he doesn't play to that speed. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but the 49ers are slow up front in their defensive line, and it, you just can't chase a guy down. And even when you think you have him corralled, it just takes a gap. And when you can't run somebody down, it just makes life more difficult. The 49ers have no pass rush. They need athletes out there on the defensive line and on the edge running after quarterbacks. I think that's clear. I don't think I need to say any more about that. One interesting thing I saw tonight was DJ Reed, who took the kickoff after that first drive from the Packers back to the 35-yard line and fumbled. And he didn't touch the ball again. It was Richie James after that. Richie James took every kickoff return from then on. And I don't know if that's a net gain or a net loss. I like Richie James a lot. He didn't show up on offense very much. There was a lot of Kendrick Bourne that was taken over for Trent Taylor in that one. But I would still, you know, I've mentioned it many times in the show, I'd like to see a lot more Richie James for the 49ers touching the ball, whether it's as a returner or on offense. Okay, I've got a lot more takeaways to get to, particularly breaking down some of what happened in the last 2 minutes of this football game. Got a couple of game balls to give out as well, but I got to tell you guys about MyBookie. And the truth is, I don't always know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I tell people to bet with MyBookie. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. MyBookie will match your deposit 100% up to $1,000. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. They will match your deposit 100% up to $1,000. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Let's see. Here's the takeaway. Aaron Rodgers is good. there was a point in the game, and I talked about this on the yesterday show on Monday before the football game, talking about Richard Sherman and how he's not been looked out by opposing offenses, and how Devontae Adams would probably line up on the left side of the Packers offense quite often and be targeted heavily. And the second TD drive from the Packers, Aaron Rodgers touchdown pass to Devontae Adams, I was thinking, are there even 49ers defenders on the field? Because at some point it started to look very easy for the Packers. But I will say, to Robert Saleh's defense and the 49ers defense's defense, that they did start to clamp down a little bit, especially in the second half, where it became a game of field goals before some late two-minute stuff that I want to talk about in a little bit. Beathard to Marquise Goodwin, 68 yards. That put the 49ers 14-7 within 3 points of the Packers. And it was a great throw from C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard played the best game of his career by far on the road at Lambeau Field. Are you kidding me? Marquise Goodwin, huge plays for Mark. It's crazy. It is crazy how much difference Marquise Goodwin makes to this offense. Marquise Goodwin, and so Marquise Goodwin was a cast-off. He was a fourth-round pick and a cast-off from the Buffalo Bills that the 49ers brought in. And the 49ers offense cannot run without Marquise Goodwin. That's how important he is to the 49ers offense right now. That's insane. And then you've got an undrafted running back in Matt Breida, where when he's not in there, the offense just does not look the same. That blows my mind. An undrafted second-year running back and a cast-off from the Buffalo Bills at wide receiver are two integral part and almost irreplaceable parts for the 49ers offense right now. And I love both those guys. And they showed a lot of heart in this game, especially with both guys battling injuries coming in. And C.J. Beathard played a great game, found some huge plays to Marquise Goodwin, 68 yards for the touchdown there in the second quarter. But a fantastic throw from C.J. Beathard to find Marquise Goodwin on the big touchdown strike. The 49ers' first half offense was lights out. I think it was, two incompletions from C.J. Beathard in the first half. a pair of Goodwin touchdowns, big plays, running the ball. The offense was definitely not a problem at all in the first half for the 49ers there in Green Bay. On the second half, things did start to slow down offensively, trading field goals, 49ers coming up with a couple of big stops, giving the ball back to the offense. So let's take this to about 1:55 left in the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers finds Davante Adams again. Great throw over Greg Maben. Ties the game 30-30. Richie James, kickoff return. A late hit penalty sets up the Niners with very good field position, almost near midfield. So you're thinking, okay, you're in business. This is a big point for me, and this is where things, I don't want to overblow it, but it's important. The 49ers have the ball nearing midfield. A minute and, 13 seconds on the clock after a George Kittle 7-yard catch on first down. And that crossed midfield on that play. So you have the ball cross midfield, 1:13 left. You have three timeouts. On the other side, you have the best quarterback on the planet. One of the top two quarterbacks on the planet in Aaron Rodgers. You're in Aaron Rodgers' house. Monday Night Football, 1 minute, 13 seconds left, second down and three. You have all three timeouts. The Packers have zero timeouts. And this is going to be second-guessed a ton. The 49ers decide to throw on second three instead of run the ball and try to play keep away from Aaron Rodgers. Because, look, at this point, you know it's tied, 30-30. You cannot lose this game in regulation. You can take it down, kick a field goal, win the game. You've got to get about 20 yards in a minute and 13 with three timeouts. You can kick a field goal, try to get out of there with a W. You can score 0 points, go to overtime, and not lose in regulation. The one thing you cannot do, there's one thing that you absolutely cannot do, that's give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with a minute left at home at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football and let him go to work. And that's exactly what the 49ers did. 1:13 on the clock, second three, 49ers elect to pass. It gets batted down at the line of scrimmage, third and three. Bethard gets picked off by Kevin King. He tried to go deep. I like the matchup. He had a one-on-one with Marquise Goodwin. Goodwin didn't have a lot of separation on that play. It wasn't a great throw. It was a 50-50 ball. It might have actually hit the ground and not actually been intercepted, but for some reason it wasn't reviewed, which I thought all turnovers and anything inside of 2 minutes would be reviewed. It wasn't even a situation where Shanahan could throw the red flag or anything like that. That's a story for another day. I'm sure we'll talk about that as well this week. But the decision to throw the ball third and three, especially on that second down play, second and three, with the way, how did I start this program? What was the first takeaway I had? The 49ers can run the ball on anybody right now. And they were. Whether it was Raheem Mostert or Matt Breida. Matt Breida, 4.4 yards per carry. He carried the ball 14 times on a bad ankle for 61 yards and had a touchdown. Raheem Mostert had a 26-yarder. He carried the ball 12 times for 87 yards. He averaged over 7 yards per carry. Second and three, a minute 13 left against the Green Bay Packers with three timeouts, and you drop back to pass. That one is going to be second-guessed for a very long time, and I think it should be. I think rightfully so. So the 49ers end up throwing third and three. You get the one-on-one. I like the matchup. In this situation, I don't know if I like the decision to do that, but when you have a one-on-one with a dude who runs 4.27, I like that matchup. Maybe you throw a touchdown pass and win the game, and you walk out of there a champ. But that's not what happened. You throw an interception to Kevin King. That gives the Packers the ball back with 49 seconds. And the 49ers did a pretty good job on the Packers to start that drive. Set up a third and 15. DeForest Buckner gets a sack. He starts to sweep the Packers off the field. But wait, there's a flag on the field. A penalty for illegal contact on Richard Sherman. I don't know if I like the call, but what are you going to do? And that keeps the drive alive. Sets up a 21-yard run by Aaron Rodgers, and then now the Packers' offense is starting to roll. 15 seconds left. Three separate side. They have no timeouts. 15 seconds. They had a chance with 15 seconds, no timeouts, to throw three more completed passes on sideline throws. That's unforgivable for Robert Saleh's defense. Two of those to Davante Adams on the left sideline, one to Equanimeous St. Brown, a back shoulder throw on the right sideline. All three of those passes completed, and they were able to get out of bounds with no timeouts to set up a Mason Crosby game-winning field goal. 49ers lose 3-0 and had three timeouts left at the end of the game. I already know how a lot of you guys feel on Twitter, but I can't wait to continue to hear how you feel about that. So feel free to hit me up about how you feel how that game ended at BD Peacock on Twitter or email lockdown49ers@gmail.com. Right after this, we'll be back with some game balls from Monday Night Football. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, bluechew.com. That's like blue, the color blue, and chew like you chew it. It's not a regular old pill. It's a chewable. Bluechew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, and they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, let's give out some game balls, shall we? And by the way, that was a fun football game. If the 49ers season, obviously, it's somewhat of a lost season right now with all the injuries and what's going on, losing quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo hurts, and there's a lot of development that I think you could take away from this season, and there's some positives you can take away, but fun football is the number one priority. And potentially winning some huge games on the road, like in Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football, would be awesome. Those would be some awesome takeaways to end this football season. But even if you can't win those games, just some really fun competitive games down the stretch I'm in for all of those. I mean, that was a fun football game. And it's disappointing to not be able to come away with the W, I think, for 49ers fans. But there's a lot of good things to take away from it. A lot of learning points, hopefully, from the coaching staff that they're able to take away from this and move on and ultimately be a better team because of it, even though they did come out with the L at Lambeau Field on Monday Night Football. But a fun game, and definitely some players worthy of game balls for the 49ers. So I'm going to start with C.J. Beathard, who had, I think, easily the best game of his career, right? Aside from that last throw, that last interception, a dude, I think, had two incomplete passes in the first half. He was 16 of 23 overall, 245 yards, big plays all over the place, a couple of touchdown passes, that one late interception. He had a rating of 115.3, a QBR 90.6, only got sacked twice. The ball was coming out quick. I love that. I love seeing the development. C.J. Beathard was bad in the pocket last week. He was holding on to the ball too long, not checking it down, not feeling pressure. He was getting the ball out quick. His delivery even looked different. Making big plays. I loved seeing that from C.J. Beathard. That was fantastic on Monday night to see C.J. Beathard take those steps and look great against a tough Green Bay team. And so C.J. Beathard, absolutely, you get a game ball for that performance. Nearly leading the 49ers to a victory on the road at Lambeau Field, but unfortunately coming up just short. Let's go to, I got to give one to my guy Marquise Goodwin, right? 126 yards receiving, two touchdowns. He only caught four passes, but all four of them were huge. 126 yards on four catches. That's a 31.5 average with a pair of touchdowns. He had the 67-yarder, He had multiple long plays. And I'll say it again. Man, Marquise Goodwin makes such a huge difference in the 49ers offense. It's unbelievable. It's crazy how much of a difference he makes in the 49ers offense. And it's almost, the 49ers offense is almost non-functional without him. And we saw a little bit of it with Matt Breida going out last week. It wasn't the same. It's crazy. It's crazy to think the 49ers offense can't function properly without Marquise Goodwin and Matt Breida. But I love it. I love both those guys. I love them playing through injury, making huge plays, and really being a huge factor in this football game, almost knocking off the Packers on the road on Monday Night Football. By the way, the Packers, so unsurprisingly, Devontae Adams, 10 catches, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. I think we all kind of expected something like that happening. A lot of that lining up on the left side, opposite of Richard Sherman, doing stuff on that side of the 49ers defense, which that's one thing the 49ers got to figure out. And it might be a long-term thing. It might not be a 2018 thing, but whoever's playing cornerback opposite of Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman's not going to be around forever, guys. So the 49ers got to figure out some things in the secondary. Very disappointing that the 49ers secondary has not taken the step that you would have hoped they would have, whether it's Jaquaski Tart or Adrian Colbert or Akella Witherspoon, who's essentially been benched at this point. Greg Maben was looking good for a while and then got a lot of passes completed on him at the end. One of those Devontae Adams touchdown passes, both of those plays at the end to Devontae Adams that were along the sideline to keep that last drive alive. Playing a little bit loose there in the secondary. Yeah, the 49ers got to figure out what's going on in the secondary, and part of that would be a pass rush really could help them out quite a bit. So those are all some things the 49ers have to figure out. And a little bit of a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde defense right now for Robert Saleh, because sometimes they look fantastic. Sometimes they look tough, and they want to bully people around, and they're giving the ball back to their offense like they did late in this football game on a couple of those drives and gave the 49ers a chance to take the lead and potentially win a game on the road. And then sometimes they just look lost. They look like they don't know what they're doing. They look like 11 guys that aren't playing on the same field at the same time, and they can't cover anybody, and they can't get after the quarterback. So they got to figure out a lot of things on defense, and if you can't cover one half of the field or more than one half of the field, that's going to be a problem, and it's going to be something I think that is a problem for the rest of the year for the 49ers. But anyways, I digress. Game ball. Marquise Goodwin, C.J. Beathard, you guys kept the 49ers in it, nearly knocked off the Packers on the road. That was a fun football game. Always disappointing to come out on the losing side, but 33-30, 49ers had a chance to win it. I think some clock management stuff they might have been able to. And let's go to Twitter. I got to go to my guy Kruger, who's a smart dude, and he's a level-headed guy, and he's got solid takes when it comes to the 49ers, and he's got a ridiculous memory talking about overtime in 1996. I can barely remember 1996. But Kruger said, you know, I'm coming for Shanny and his clock management, and it's not the first time. Second and three at midfield. A simple draw likely gets the first down, but more importantly, the clock runs. You can't lose this game in regulation, win or go to OT. I completely 100% agree with you on that one, Kruger. And then he goes on to say, also, if your memory goes back far enough, and no, I'm sorry, it does not. I remember 1996. I remember a lot of things that happened in 1996. I remember a lot of football games. I remember the 49ers playing the Packers in 1996. But I don't remember it to this extent. Kruger says, reminiscent of an overtime loss on Monday Night Football in Green Bay in 1996. Also, then a late bailout, illegal contact flag that allowed Favre to reach field goal range at the end of regulation. Same favor for Rodgers tonight. That's a fantastic memory, Kruger. I love it. And just like I've been saying, just like 1996, the 2018 49ers fall on the road in Green Bay on Monday Night Football. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I will be back tomorrow. We're going to do a crossover episode on Wednesday with Brad Motter of Locked On Rams, and then we're going to get right back into this game. There's a lot more to unpack here and a lot more to talk about with the 49ers loss on the road in Green Bay, and then we will look ahead as well to the Rams Week 7, undefeated Rams in Week 7 that is now not a primetime football game. That is a 1 o'clock West Coast football game start time. So the 49ers at 1-5 taking on the undefeated Rams next week. The 49ers and Packers game was fun, and we'll continue to talk about it this week as well. And, of course, I'll have Nick on with the weekly wink on Friday's show. All right, I will talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.